forgive us our debts. Salvation can be explained by three verbs in our language. And the moment we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we repent and believe upon Jesus Christ and receive Him to be our Lord and Savior, we become a child of God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And after that, we go into a process of what we call sanctification, where God would send us trials, God would send us, or God would allow us to go through temptations. And there we go through a process where God enables us to be saved from the power of sin. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God gives to us the strength to overcome sin, to say no to sin in our lives. But we realize that this strength that God gives to us, like salvation, it is but by the grace of God. If God would not bestow upon us, we do not have the strength to overcome, to say no to temptation. Right? When temptation comes our way, when trials come our way, when we are pressed to the limit, we find ourselves weak. And we need God to help us. And so we see that after we come to the knowledge of God, after we become a child of God, we go through this process of sanctification. And the Lord has given us His prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in order that we may learn how we may receive strength to go through life, so that when we have lived that last blessed day on earth, we will be ushered to heaven. We will be saved from the presence of sin. Today, the power of sin continues and is able to have a hold on us when we are not walking with the Lord. We are not walking in the Spirit. We can fall, but the day will come when we would arrive home in heaven, we would be saved from the presence of sin. And while we are in this process, the Lord did not leave us without hope, without help. And we all know the consequences of sin, how it is a heavy price to pay in our lives. The first three aspects of the Lord's Prayer we have learned, summed up in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. To seek the will of God, to have our attention upon the Father, we pray that His name be hallowed, His name be honored in our lives, His name be magnified, and we pray that His kingdom will come, His will be done on earth. Why is it so important? Well, God has a plan for fallen human race, and it has taken us about 7,000 years to work out that plan, where we see how man is so helpless to govern himself. Man is so helpless to do well, to do what is truly good, really good, except by the grace of God. And the day will come when God will rule upon earth. Today we see men struggling to find his way around, in order that he may put things together, right, in the little habitat that God has for him on earth. But it seemed full of problems, difficulties arising, well, the Lord wants us to seek to do His will, His way, and He will prosper us. The second part of the Lord's Prayer. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Sometimes, as we think as earthlings, well, we think about our needs. We think about our will, our present needs. But God has a beautiful will for us, a plan for our lives that if we know it and if we'll do it, we realize that that is the best. We'll walk in the presence of God. And so, you recall we began our study with this Lord's Prayer. We said that it is a pattern for prayer. And today we are at verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You realize that this petition in verse 12 comes with an appendix after the verse 13, which seemed to end the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is a kingdom and a power and a glory forever. Amen. And then after that, our Lord Jesus says, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Why did the Lord add an appendix? And if you realize in the Lord's Prayer, forgiveness of our sins and our ability to forgive the sins of others comes right in the middle of the prayer. It seemed to be embedded right at the center there and with an appendix for us to help us to see how that aspect of our life is an important aspect. You find our relationship with God and our relationship with man helps in our overall spiritual well-being. And therefore, here is embedded this verse, in verse 12 of the Lord's Prayer, how we can make right with God and also make right with man. I remember there was once we were visiting an elderly lady together with her husband. Her husband has gone home with the Lord and living with the husband for 40, 50 years. One thing that she said, I cannot do, is to forgive my husband. She said, that is something that I cannot do. And she would tell us openly, we'll go to the kitchen and she's cooking her food for everyone, all of us. But she says that there is this thing that is within me that I cannot let go. So while she was cooking, dear brother said to him that we should come and lay down our burdens. That burden seemed to be weighing her down. And we know that after the dear husband has gone home to be with the Lord, she realized that how he was so happy, how God was with him to strengthen him. And days later, we see that there is a change in her heart as she witnessed the grace of God, not only in the husband's life, but also in the life of the others in the family. So she began to relent, and she began to be able to let go of that hatred, that grudge. And you find that this is what makes life miserable. You remember when we begin, when the Bible begins, God created just one family, right? The family of Adam and Eve, and God gave Adam and Eve two children, Cain and Abel. And the Bible tells us that Cain killed his brother Abel. And the Bible also tells us that there was a hatred, that effervescing hatred that comes in his heart that caused him to rise up. And while they were in the field, he found that his brother Abel's sacrifice, an animal sacrifice to God, acceptable. But his sacrifice, a sacrifice that was not acceptable to God, caused him to be unhappy. How come his sacrifice is accepted, mine is unaccepted? I don't like this brother. So if you analyze the heart of Cain, if you do an open heart surgery and you open up spiritually, you look at the heart of Cain, you find that it was filled with malice, it was filled with hatred, and this came as a result of man's disobedience toward God. When we choose to disobey God, and when we choose to walk away from God, the glory of God, in a sense, walk away from us. This week we were mentioning a Chinese word, a Chinese word called rong. If you know the Chinese word rong, it has two fire on it. Two fire and a house followed by a wood, mu, below. And we were wondering, why is it that God gives to the Chinese people that word that can only be explained in the first six chapters of the book of Genesis? Well, that is a description of glory. And one brother said, that's my name. That's my name. And when we look at it, we realize that, you know, the two fires represents Adam and Eve while they were in the garden. And that tree there is the tree of life. When they partake of that tree of life, they have glory. And, you know, we often think, what is it that that is in Adam and Eve before they are fall and after they are fall? We only know that, you know, when Adam and Eve fell, we said that, oh, they feel themselves naked, right? And they feel themselves shameful. So what is this nakedness and what is this shame that is being described here? Well, I submit to you that could it be, right, that the glory of God has left them? Right? And if you look at the Bible and you study the Bible, you would see, every time there's an expression of man who is with God, there is that light that shines from within him. When Jesus was in the transfiguration, he saw Moses and Elijah and Christ. Well, there was a light that shines. And so here we are seeing that it is in a way a representation of the presence and the glory of God. When that is taken away, it is lost in a way. So when Adam and Eve sinned, that glory, that wrong was taken away from them. When we sinned against God, that's where, you know, and when there is hatred in the heart, as in the heart of Cain, you'll find that you're not happy. There's something bothering you in your heart. Hatred, violence, and all this envy and jealousy in the heart can cause the heart to lose its peace. And God had to restore that peace. And that peace was restored to us when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God over me. The Chinese word yi, right? Righteousness, like God's Lamb who shed his blood to wash away our sins, covering me of my shame. That was what God did. Took an animal and kill it and take the skin and cover Adam and Eve. Remember, they took fig leaves to cover themselves And then they did not feel that they are covered. Right? They were still feeling ashamed. God has a way in which sin in our lives can be atoned for. And that cannot be, we say, cannot be faked. Right? Only in the blood of Jesus Christ can sins be washed away. And here, the Lord wants us to know that when we come to God in prayer, one of the most important prayers that God has for His people is to pray, to pray, right? To ask God to forgive us our debts. What does the word debt mean? Well, the word debt describes our debt of sin that we owe to God. Right? You see, at the end of the Lord's Prayer in verse 14 and 15, the word there is trespasses, right? That's another word for sin. And in the Gospel of Luke, the word sin is used. These are all those debts of sin that we owe to God. And we know that in Jesus Christ, all these sins are taken away. But we also realize that when we are saved, right, we said that we can still sin. Right? You look at the figure on your left side. Right? The man who has not known God yet. You see here that sin reigns in his heart, that he's in bondage to sin. He cannot but sin. And when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, when we repent of our sins, right, the Spirit of God comes into our heart. And you see here, right, the cross representing the Spirit of God, God coming to reside in us. But you see here, right, that that there is also this sign here. Right, I think the battery is going out. Please take note. You see here, the Mr. Chong, the battery. So here you say here that that this aspect of sin is still in us, in the sense that when we are not walking in the Spirit, we can still sin. When you do not allow the Spirit of God to take hold of you, when you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, and there's not that strength in your heart, you can still fall. Right? Here, Paul used the words like that. He described, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another," right? He was talking about the church in Galatia, speaking to the Christians, right? "If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." So what to do? He says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." How do you walk in the Spirit? Well, the Lord teaches us the prayer to ask God to give us the grace, the strength to forgive others. The grace, right? We all know to forgive someone who has stepped on us is very difficult. Right? It's not a supernatural thing. Right? You'll find that it is supernatural. It is by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God that comes to us. That's why Jesus gave this phrase here, right, in the Lord's Prayer, to help us, to ask that we would be able, right, by His grace, right, to find pardon. Right, we have pardon from God in the sense that, you know, while we live on earth, while we live after we are saved, we are in that process, we said, of sanctification. It means that we can still fall. And when we fall, what do? Well, we come to God and ask God for forgiveness. Do you pray that prayer of forgiveness? Every evening, at the end of the day, do you take time to search your heart and ask God to forgive you of the sins that you have committed, you may not have committed, the sins you know, sins you don't know, so that you would have, in a sense, God giving you that peace of mind as we forgive our debtors. God forgive us, and we are to forgive those who have trespassed, sinned against us. But this is to ask that the grace of God comes to us. Right? The shorter catechism gives to us a very good summary of what we have just said. In the fifth petition, we pray that God, for Christ's sake, would freely pardon all our sins, which we are the rather encouraged to ask, because by His grace we are enabled from the heart to forgive others. So sometimes you feel you cannot. You feel that you don't have the strength to do so. Well, go on your knees, pray, and ask God to give you the grace to do what is right in His sight, to give you that strength, you know, that you may bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And here, you see that this is the phrase, or this is the word pardon that we have used. You remember we begin preface, or praise, preach, power, provision, and now pardon. Right? We seek God's pardon in our lives. And the two thoughts that we want to consider: forgiveness begins with God and begets a spirit of forgiveness. Forgiveness begins with God. The word forgive is to erase, nullify, take away our debt of sin. It is to ask God to write off what we owe. And you notice very interestingly, right, that the Lord wants us to bear this fruit of grace, of forgiveness in our lives. And here, Peter asks to Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 21, he says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? Till seven times, my brother offend me. One time I forgive him, two times I forgive him, three times I forgive him, four times I forgive him. Seven times I still forgive him?' Peter asked, and Jesus said to him, 'I say unto you, until seven times, until even seven times, but until 70 times 7. Jesus is saying 70 times 7. 7, the multiples of 70, right, is 490 times. You know, many, many times. Almost impossible to count. Right? What Jesus is saying, that you are to forgive each time. Then you ask ourselves, how can it be so? Well, Jesus, when he began this chapter, he says this as he come to, as the disciples come to him, Jesus asked, they asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The question was asked by the disciples to Jesus. And Jesus said, caught a little child and said to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great in the kingdom of heaven. When we are given that grace to submit to the will of God, that is greatness. That's why you see how difficult it is, right, for men to walk with God except by the grace of God, except God enable us. So Jesus gave this example, right? He says in this parable, this story, right, to help us to understand, right, this matter of forgiveness. He says to him, I say not unto thee seventy times seven. Therefore, he says, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who take account of his servants. So now Jesus tries to explain why 490 times. Right? He gives a story, an everyday story, to help them to understand. And he says, when he had begun to reckon, that means he had begin to take account with them. Right? One was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. Right? That's a lot of money that is being owed here. Right? Here it said, but for as much as he had not paid, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. So this man owed a big debt. And because he could not pay, he has nothing to pay. Well, in order to pay it, he had to sell everything that he has. Right? His wife, his children, and all that he had for the payment to be made. But the servant fell down upon his master and worshipped him and said, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Oh, you see here that the debt was great, but the Lord was so merciful. It's a description of who we are, what God had done for us to forgive us of our sins. Now, you know the matter of God's forgiveness for our sins. Our sins are such, right, that the justice of God does not require, right, that sins cannot be just write off like that. It has to be paid. Right? Two aspects of God's character. His love. He loves us, and therefore he wants to save us. But his justice tells us that all that have sinned have to also pay for the sin. So how does justice and love come together? Well, God's solution for that was that God himself has to met or give that solution. What was that solution? God had to send his own son. God himself has to pay that price for sin. So this week we were speaking to a couple who have been seeking. And the wife says, I seek this God. And all this life I know that God is with me to bless me, to help me. I can call to him. I don't know who he is. So we explain that this God is Jesus Christ. He has come to save you. And you know, this God exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So she was a bit baffled. How can God be represented in this way? Right? Our God, we said, it's not the mathematical equation to represent God. It's not 1 plus 1 plus 1. 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3. But 1 times 1 times 1, right, equals to 1. 1 God in 3 persons. Right? God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ. So she was acquainted for the first time to the truth. And after she received the truth, right, tears came down her eyes. And she said that, I understand. And I want to know this God. And it was explained that this God is Jesus Christ. And with tears, she come to receive Jesus Christ together with her husband, Lord and Savior. What a wonderful thing it is. God prepared the heart. And how, you know, she knew that her sins, our sins cannot be paid on by our own merits. God's solution was that He had to send His Son to pay that penalty for our sins. And so here, it helps us to understand, right, the debt of our own sin that we have paid, that is going to cost us something if God is going to exact it upon us. What is that? Well, that is eternal judgment in hellfire. And there's no escape. And so the servant was really thankful, right? But the same servant went out. Oh, so here it says that, you know, he was loosed and he was forgiven. But what did he do after he has been forgiven of so much? The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and laid hand upon him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I pay thee all. And he said he would not, but went and cast him in the prison that till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not thou also have had compassion on my fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, was very angry with him, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Remember in verse 15 of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord added two points there, how we are to forgive. And so you realize that Jesus did not leave us without understanding of what His will is. He wants us to bear this fruit of forgiveness. But we realize how weak we are. We realize that we don't have that strength to forgive. And that is where the Lord provides us, right, with the Lord's Prayer, that we may be able to forgive. So, forgiveness begins with God. The Lord wants us to know, right, that we have received much, and the Lord would expect, right, that we would likewise be able, by His grace, by His strength, to do His will. And if we would not, if we choose to go our own way, I will realize that, like the servant that was being described there, right, it tells us that, is there any sign of spiritual fruit in our life? Well, the master said, no, there isn't. So whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Jesus gave a very, very important statement of truth, right? From the agricultural scene. Whatever you sow, you plant a seed and you water it and you add fertilizer, you see that soon the plant would germinate, take root and grow, and then a plant would come, you see the flowers coming and then the fruit, and then it's time for you to take the harvest. But if you would not sow, then you know you wouldn't expect a harvest. Right? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth to his flesh. And so he says here that if you sow, right, to the flesh, meaning, right, as we said earlier, if we choose, right, not to walk in the Spirit, right, this portion of the cross become very small. Right? Imagine this reduce in the size, and this increases, right, when we allow the flesh to take over our lives. That's where Jesus says, you shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So the Lord tells us that if we would walk in the Spirit, then there would be spiritual fruit in our lives. And so the Lord tells us that in our life, all that we have received, all that we are by the grace and mercy of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul explained it this way. He says, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He says that I receive all that I have. My justification is but by the favor of God, the blessing of God, whom God has set to be a propitiation. God has set him to be our substitute through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Well, God was patient with us. God did not come after us for all our sins, but he has set a way for us through the blood that was shed by his Son. Right? Through faith in his blood, for us to believe, right, what Jesus Christ had done for us upon the cross, that his blood was shed for our sins. To declare, I say, at this time, that his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Oh, how are we justified? We are justified not by anything that we have done. Here it is said that God justifies us every whit. And therefore, if we have been saved by God through Christ, then there is nothing for us to boast. We come to God all by his favor. Therefore, when we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, meaning that, you know, we come just by believing that we receive this righteousness, and therefore we have nothing to boast. The servant was saved, or was who has his debts written off, not for anything that he had done to repay his master, but he pleaded with his master, and his master forgave him. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. This is what God had done for us. Right? Our faith is counted for righteousness. We are saved simply by believing what Jesus Christ had done for us on the cross. And therefore, if he had done all these things for us, if God had saved us, and forgiveness that God gave to us, right? We said our first thought, forgiveness begins with God, then it must beget in us a spirit of forgiveness, right? Just like you see the story of that Jesus gave. Right? When another man, after he was acquitted by his master, another man came to him, what did he do? Well, what he had to do was to show that same grace, forbearing one another, Paul says, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So this is what the Lord would want us to do. For all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us this ministry of reconciliation, that we may be able, by what God had done for us, right, to be a peacemaker for God, right, to be an ambassador for Christ. By sharing the gospel, by sharing with others that forgiveness that we have received through Christ. And how real can it be? Well, by God giving us that ability to forgive. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Upon the cross, God's mercy and his justice was reconciled. And when they were come to that place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right side, one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When our Lord was on the cross, he was being crucified. And it was that most difficult moment of time where he was bearing the sins of the people and the people were mocking him. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a heart. What benevolence. What large-heartedness. The Lord wants us to bear that same fruit in our lives. May the Lord help us, that we may indeed beget that spirit of forgiveness. Adam and Eve did not have a chance to intervene before Cain killed Abel. Right, the Bible says that until the end of chapter 4 of Genesis, men did not call upon God. Why? Because the family was in grief until God gave another son. Right? God had to give another son called Seth. Did men call upon God again? Grieved. And we realize that unless there is God's grace, unless God would help us, there would be a lot of hardness all around. And we need God's grace. And it begins with us remembering what God had done for us, how he has forgiven us our debts. And we ask God that if we have sinned against him at any time, well, to forgive us and then to give us that spirit whereby we may be able to forgive others also. May the Lord help us. May the Lord strengthen us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for thy word. We want to thank thee that thou hast given us this part of the Lord's Prayer, that we may seek pardon, we may seek peace in our hearts by the forgiveness of sins that we receive through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we also seek that thou give us a forgiving spirit, that we may have the grace, the strength to also love and forgive others also. May thou be gracious to help us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.